And here in Arizona, there have been more than 80,000 refugees resettled since the 1980s from countries like Somalia, Iraq, Cuba, and Sudan. But since President Trump signed his executive order temporarily banning refugees from seven mostly Muslim countries, there have been a lot of questions about how these refugees are vetted and if more thorough vetting could keep our country safe from terrorist attacks. To find out more about what refugees go through before they come to the state, I'm joined by David Androff. He's an associate professor in ASU School of Social Work, and he's worked for 5 years with a team of social workers to assist refugees here in Arizona. And David, let's start by getting the basics down. Who counts as a refugee? What are the qualifications?
Sure. Refugees are people that have been forced to flee their home. There's a specific list of criteria that they have to meet, so it's due to a well-grounded fear of persecution on the basis of, you know, religion or political affiliation or a number of different characteristics. And that's a legal policy term that's set by international law and also by U.S. law.
So how strict is the vetting process in the U.S. for these refugees?
I consider it to be very strict. It's really hard to imagine how it could be made more strict. Refugees are the most thoroughly vetted visitors to the United States or people that travel to the United States. They're vetted more thoroughly than students or business travelers or tourists. So there's really extensive background checks that occur on, you know, multiple different formats. So there's biometric data that's collected and examined. There's background checks, like I said. There's a series of in-depth interviews that's conducted with the people that are refugees, but also their extended family members. And then the federal officials check things like cell phone records and social media platform. So it's pretty exhaustive.
And this isn't a short process either. How long does it usually take?
No, it's not short. It takes a long time. Many people spend years waiting, multiple years. But I think the average is roughly around 2 years.
What factors into that? Why would it take so long for some people?
I think the length is determined by just the nature of the safety checks on the process of the vetting. So people are processed initially through the United Nations, and then just by virtue of having to go through all the different steps with multiple federal agencies, including Department of State, Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, and being checked with, you know, domestic databases, international databases, and then on top of it, like I said, the multiple interviews. And then often, if there's a red flag raised at any one of these steps, they have to start over, or, you know, if something new, a new detail emerges, or the person is excluded from the process.
And so are there factors that we weigh as heavier in this country to sort of weed through the hundreds of thousands of people who probably want to come here?
Well, it's important to note that only a tiny sliver, a small sliver of people that are refugees in the world that are fleeing persecution are accepted for resettlement anywhere. It's less than 1%. Most refugees end up being locally integrated to where they've fled. And some are, you know, go back home. But for the people who can't stay locally and who aren't able to ever to return home, then sometimes they become eligible for third country resettlement. And the U.S. is one of about 26 different countries around the world that accepts these, you know, people that are approved for third country resettlement. And then when they come to the United States, they can be resettled around the country. And sometimes they're connected to where they already have existing family members. And sometimes they're placed where there's a good opportunity for them or a good network in place to support them, to help them integrate and become an American.
And what's that process usually like? Is it difficult for them to find work, housing when they get here?
Well, initially, the resettlement agencies that I mentioned, like Catholic Charities or International Rescue Committee, provides them with a starting point. They provide them with a basic cultural orientation, and they arrange for them to have an apartment, and they have a minimum amount of cash assistance that they're eligible for. But within a few months, they're expected to be able to become employed. And the policy that drives U.S. refugee resettlement really pushes them to be economically self-sufficient as soon as possible.
And how easy is that to do?
Well, it's quite difficult. People have to start over their whole lives, and they've survived tremendous trauma just in the process of becoming a refugee and then over the course of their refugee journey. So they've been through quite a lot, and then they have to learn the whole United States system from scratch. And that's why we've focused on helping the refugee communities reach out to the newly arrived refugees to sort of facilitate that process.
So what was your reaction to this travel restriction put into place recently from the Trump administration?
I was deeply disappointed, and I don't see any practical value for improving security. Our national security is something that I care about very deeply, but it's been said it's a solution in search of a problem, or in the sense that I don't think it's going to have any meaningful practical application. So the only thing it really does accomplish, I think, is making the people whose lives are already very hard even more difficult to begin with.
So how worried should we be about terrorists in our country masquerading as refugees? Is this something that's happened?
No, it's never happened. There's never been any fatality caused by anyone who is admitted to the United States as a refugee. So I think that specific fear is largely misplaced, although I think we're all right to be concerned about security and the threat of terrorism, but I don't think that's a threat that can come from the refugee process.
All right. David Androff with ASU School of Social Work. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
You're very welcome.